That we've gotten. If you've got a garden, you're praising the Lord for the rain, amen. And so I praise the Lord he didn't destroy it with all the rain too, because I've had my garden wash out before, but now I praise him. I praise the Lord for this opportunity, and hopefully I'll be a blessing to you this morning. I want you to turn to a couple of places with me this morning, and of course we're going to be mainly in Genesis chapter 2 and some other places speaking on marriage. And I asked Pastor if there was anything in particular he wanted me to teach on. He says, whatever the Lord leads you, and this is where the Lord led me. So that's what we need to do. And so if you will, we're going to go to Genesis 1:1. I hope you can find that real quick. I remember a time in my life I had no idea where Genesis was. And it scared me to death when they said, turn to Genesis. And of course, I was in a teenage class. I don't know why, but I was in there with them. And I see all these teenagers just flipping. They're right there. And I'm like, oh my goodness, where's it at? And but Genesis 1:1, if you don't know where it's at, it's the very first book of the Bible that we come to, and a very first verse of the Bible that we come to. And I think it appropriate that it says this. How many of you are with me? All right, here we are. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if you will turn to its counterpart, not counterpart, but a verse that cooperates with it and gives us even more understanding in the New Testament, that would be the Gospel of John. Chapter 1, and I know that neither one of these two verses speak on marriage, but it's going to help you to understand where I'm coming from. John chapter 1, verse 1, I hope you have your place. We'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And so when we think about that, who's this speaking of? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that spoke things into existence. He is the creator. And it's very important that we understand that, and many people do not want to admit that, even though it's in the Bible. Brothers and sisters, we would do best to not worry about what we think about or what we understand, but just to take God's word at its face value. And yes, there are deeper truths in the word of God, but we need to take the basics from what is declared from the beginning. And I'm glad I don't have to worry about where I came from. I'm glad I don't have to worry about my ancestry being of apes or amoebas or anything like that. I'm glad that God created me. I'm glad God created you. But as we think about these two passages of Scripture that I just had you read with me, I want you to understand there's this thing called original intent. And you hear a lot of court cases, especially with our Supreme Court, dealing with the Constitution, dealing with laws and things of that nature. A lot of times our judges are trying to interpret things, whereas they ought to look at the original intent of the writers to get the clear understanding of what was meant by the laws and the things that were passed. Now, how many of you realize when God made that covenant with Abraham, he did not put any stipulations on Abraham? Have you ever thought about that? Everything rested on what God said. And I want you to know it's the same way for you and I, brothers and sisters. Everything that matters in our life is not based on what we can keep, but what God has promised. Because we can't keep it. It's like our salvation. We're saved because he gave it to us when we trusted on him as our personal Savior. It's not for us to keep because we can't keep it. We couldn't do enough to get saved. We're definitely not going to be able to do enough to stay saved. But I'm glad I'm in his hands. I'm glad you're in his hands. But let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further. And we'll be going to Genesis chapter 2 here in just a second. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this beautiful day, the Lord's day. Father, I thank you for my brethren that are here this morning. Father, we have come to hear from you. Lord, I pray that you would guide me through the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, the things that you have put on my heart, Lord, the things that you've had me to study, that you would help me to remember the things that I need to. Lord, you help me to say the things that ought to be said. But at the same time, I pray that you would keep me from saying things that should not. Lord, I just want you to be glorified this morning. Lord, I want you to help us. Father, we're in a generation where there's much trouble, there's much problems because, Father, we've gotten away from your original intent. We've gotten away from your word. And, Lord, I pray that you would help us to return to your word. Lord, even as Christians, we can get away from your word. We can take your word and twist it and make it fit to what we want. But, Lord, that's dangerous. Father, we ought not to do that. And Lord, I pray for the unsaved. I pray for our community. I pray for our children, our families. Lord, we need you. We need to put you back in your proper place if we haven't already. And Father, I pray that you would help us all to realize that you deserve the preeminence in everything in our life. Father, as we go through your word this morning, please help us, instruct us. Lord, help us to hear what we need to hear. We ask this in Christ's name for his honor and glory. Amen. Amen. When we look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, I know I told you Genesis chapter 2, we'll get there right after this. It says in Genesis 1, 26, and I think it's very important that we take this into consideration, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man. There should be no discussion or arguments concerning evolution if you're a child of God. You should even entertain the thought of evolution. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, the reason that we have so many people confused today about marriage, about who can be married to each other, is because they have gotten away from the Word of God. God, the very first people that he created was man and woman. And where was anything before that? According to God's Word, no. So I'm going to take God at his Word. I was joking with a familiar young preacher that we all know here, and I said, hey, did Adam have a belly button? How many of you ever heard that question? And he said, no. And I said, well, I think he was. I think he did have one. Now, listen, it doesn't matter if he did or didn't. Your salvation is not going to rest on that. But we are created in the image of God. Jesus Christ is who we are to pattern our life after. Did Jesus have a belly button? I think he did. And that's why I think Adam did. But it doesn't really matter. It's just something you want to throw out there. But also, how many of you ever heard this? Where did Cain get his wife? And if you listen to the world, it's going to give you doubts about, was Adam and Eve really the first person? Were they the only ones created by God in the beginning? But I want to assure you that you can trust what God says. I'm not saying you can trust what I say, but you can trust what God says. God created man. And Adam and Eve were the very first ones. Now, he created them innocent. I used to think that he created them perfect. But had he created them perfect, they wouldn't have sinned against God. How many of you understand what I'm saying? But he created them innocent. And we need to take note of that. And so, as we get into Genesis chapter 2 now, I ask you to turn there with me. I have a great burden for our young people. And I want you to pray for Lucas, especially as he deals with the teenagers and the young people growing up. He's got a heavy burden, a heavy load. And so pray for Brother Lucas as he continues to instill the Word of God into these young people. And I'm praying for you parents. How many of you have teenagers? How many of you have almost teens and things of that nature? And it's a scary time in your life. And so when we think of that, we need to do a lot of prayer for our youth, because our youth are being bombarded with false doctrine. Our youth are being bombarded by the opinions of men instead of thus saith the Lord. And so we need to pray and ask God to help us. Now, I am no longer raising children, but I have found raising adult children is a whole lot harder than raising young children. How many of you can say amen to that? All right. You can't just go and give them a good whooping whatever they needed anymore. And they're kind of big enough that they might whoop you back. But seriously, God has given some of us the great blessing of being grandparents. In fact, that's where we were this past week, visiting with our grandchildren and trying to be a blessing to them and trying to just show them that we love Jesus and we love them and we want the best for them. And that's what it's all about. We want people to succeed in the Lord. And I make it very clear that we need to put it in the Lord. I don't want my children or grandchildren to be successful in the world. I want them to be successful in God. And I want their relationships to be successful in the eyes of God. I want my relationship with my wife to be successful in the eyes of God. Should the Lord tarry his coming, we will be celebrating 34 years this coming October. Hallelujah. God had a woman that could put up with me for this long. I want to praise his name. And she has, I tell you what, you think I'm this wonderful, great person. She knows me. And so y'all pray for my wife, but I praise the Lord for putting a woman in my life that the first interest was making sure that I was going to church before we even got married. And when you think about that, look at Genesis chapter 2 with me. Are you there? All right, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." I can't believe I didn't hear any amens there. I will make him and help meet for him. Now, guys, we can be prideful, can't we? We can think that we don't need anybody. We can think that we can handle anything and everything and that we'll be sufficient in and of ourselves. But God saw that it was good for man not to be alone. Now, notice he didn't make help meet one word. It's two words. It's two words. And you say, well, duh. But I want you to understand something. God knew that even though he created Adam, Adam was going to need help. And if any of you men are going to be honest that are married, we know that our wife has been a great help to us. At least I hope she has. She should be, right? A help meet, one that's going to help, one that is suitable to help. Suitable to help. Now, we can sit there and think we've got it all figured out, and we may or may not need our wives, but let me tell you something. Do you realize without our wives, especially those of us who are in the ministry, we're not qualified to be in the ministry? Hello? Uh-oh. Y'all didn't know that? Hey, God established the family first. The family is our first ministry. If we're not careful, and I've been guilty of this in the past, I have put the church before my family. I have put strangers before my family. But that's not God's original intent. Now, should we help strangers? Should we help the brethren in the church? Absolutely. But the number one priority ought to be our family, not to take place of God. See, in the beginning, God. God should be the first thing in our lives, no matter what. If we would just start everything in our life with God, we would do well. And I want to encourage you to keep that in mind, if you will. Anything you do, make sure you include God and that you obey God. You know, a lot of times we say we're including God, but we don't even consult him. Let's not do that. Let's be very careful. But also, your first ministry is your family. And as we look at this, God knew that Adam needed help. I'm glad that God knew that I needed help. Sometimes I forget that I need help. Any of you guilty of that? Sometimes we forget that we need the help of our wives, and sometimes we say horrible things to them, like be quiet, and I didn't ask. Don't do that, okay? I'm just telling you. And so there's other things I could tell you, but boy, you'd really think bad of me. But as we look at this, we need our wives. We are not to worship our wives. Hello? I know some husbands that worship their wives. But if you're worshiping your wife, guess who you're not worshiping? Now, you're to guard your wife. You're to protect your wife. You're to provide for your wife. Hello? And these are things that we need to understand. But God knew he shouldn't be alone. God was going to solve that by making him someone that could help him. Of course, verse 19 says, "Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him." Now, how many of you have a good old dog at home? I'm not going to ask about cats. I don't like cats. But, you know, we have a wonderful Australian shepherd that we inherited from one of our sons that promised to take care of it and would keep it. But she absolutely loves us. And sometimes I think I can get in trouble for getting onto our dog for not acting right by grandma, you know, just because that love for that dog. But, you know, God brought all these animals before Adam to show him, this is not what you need. And God allowed him to name them, yes. But I think it was to show Adam, look, you don't need animals to make you happy. You don't need all this. But you need someone that I'm going to give you. You need someone that I'm going to give you. And so take that in consideration, if you will, as we continue on. There was not found help for Adam. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now let me stop here for just a moment. How many people are there now? Adam and Eve. There's only two people. Where did the woman come from? Came out of Adam, right? From his rib. But there's only two people in the world. Why did God have to bring Eve to Adam? That just seems kind of ridiculous. I mean, if he created Eve, I'm talking about humanly speaking, okay? If he created Eve out of the rib of Adam, surely Adam realized that she came out from him and that God had created her. And so why would God have to bring her to him? And this is something that I use for young people whenever I get a chance to minister to young people and teach them, as I did the teens before we went out to Wyoming. You know, I taught them and I use this. Let God bring that person into your life. There may be a limited number of people that you're thinking about, but God has the right person for you. And you know what? God doesn't make mistakes. The problem is, how many of you are impatient? How many of us men, when we were younger, before we got married, we couldn't wait. We just knew. When we wanted to kind of force things, let God. It's hard to wait, isn't it? It's especially, you know, we get smitten with our eyes first, which is dumb. But we're due. That's the way God created man. We're affected by our sight. And, you know, if we're not careful, we're going to go for beauty instead of spirituality. Now also, there was a relationship established before Eve. You know what I'm talking about? God and Adam spent time alone together before Eve was created. Now, I've not really seen that before as far as what I'm trying to get across with you today. But Adam had a relationship with God before he had a relationship with Eve, and that is the way it ought to be. Even for the wife. The wife ought to have a relationship with God before she agrees to marry someone. Now, how can two walk together except they be agreed? That's Amos 3:3. Listen, there are two. If two people are getting married and neither one of them are Christians, that's a bad idea. If one's a Christian and one's a lost person, that's a bad idea. Now, we all have this intent. Well, I'm going to convert them. I'm going to help them to come and know Jesus, and they'll get saved. Well, there's no guarantee with that, but what I have seen as a majority is the opposite is true. They influence the spouse for the world. And we don't want that. That's not what God wants. And so as we think about this, as we look at what's going on, we need to take these things into consideration. Adam and God walked together, talked together before Eve came into the picture. And after Eve came into the picture, that relationship remained. Our wives or our husbands, ladies, should not interfere with our relationship with God. Because I promise you that you will not have a strong marriage if your spouse takes the place and priority in your life over God. And I won't even get on children today. Because a lot of people have put children as their priority instead of their relationship with God. But as we look at what we're going here, we're talking about original intent. We're talking about what God established. Now, God took that rib from Adam. I don't know which rib, but I know this. Ribs are right here on my side underneath my arm. And the arm is a symbol of strength, is it not? But also, ribs protect something. Well, they protect our lungs, but they also protect our heart. Yes or no? And of course, many people associate heart with love, and that's fine, that's wonderful. But you know, God created from a specific bone that was located under protection
and strength. And in Ephesians, the Bible calls the woman in English the weaker vessel. In Spanish, of course, you know, we had a Spanish Bible. It said, el vaso más frágil. Now, it's talking about the cup or vase or glass that is more fragile. It's not that she is weaker and doesn't have any strength or is worthless. The weaker vessel, that's not what it's talking about. She is the more fragile vessel. And God expects us to take care of our wives, to protect our wives, and to love our wives. Close to the heart. Is not the rib close to the heart? When you think of that. And so just keep that in mind as we continue to talk about this. So our wives ought to be very special to us. But how many of you have seen marriages where the wife seems to be nothing but a slave? The wife seems to be nothing but someone to step on, to order around. That's not a godly marriage. It's not a godly marriage. Now, Adam waited on God to bring Eve to him. Of course, there was no other women, I understand that, but still, God gave us this example. That's why it's important to wait on the Lord. Now, there have been people to marry outside of the will of God. They married the person that they should not have married. And they figured that out later and regretted it later. So what's the solution? Divorce? No. And of course, that's a whole other subject for a whole other day if the Lord allows it. But these things God established for these two to come together until death. Until death. But those who have married outside the will of God, they might get this idea, well, I did wrong, so I need to find the right person. Listen, that moment you said I do to that wrong person, that became God's will for you as far as your marriage goes. Hello? Now, this may not be popular. I understand that. But you made the decision, you made your bed, now lie in it, right? And so we think about these things, but we don't want to think about it when it comes to taking responsibility. I don't know about the other men, I can only talk about myself. It took me about 40 years to start maturing as a man. Lord help. But she put up with me, hallelujah. And she didn't throw me away. She probably wanted to. However, God helped us. God helped us. And so as we look at this, we see what is going about. He brought her unto Adam. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. I'm in verse 23. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, now we're reading God's holy word that's forever settled in heaven, right? Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. How many of you have ever used duct tape? How many of you have ever needed to take a piece of duct tape, and as you're taking it off the roll, you let go of the one end so you can start to rip it, and if you're like me, it just seems to inevitably stick itself to its, you know, the sticky side to the other sticky side that you just did. How many of you have tried to pull duct tape apart? What happens? Oh, you might be successful. But is there damage done? Is there parts of this piece of tape on that piece of tape? Well, it's the same thing when we try to destroy the marriage. This cleave does not mean to cut apart. This cleave means to glue together. To glue together. This is how the marriage relationship ought to be. You're stuck with one another, amen? But it can be a blessing or it can be a curse. It just depends on what you do with God. It depends on what you where God's place is in your life. And you think about this. I mentioned earlier, God had a relationship with Adam before Eve, before Adam had a relationship with Eve. But here is a man who had a relationship with God. Let's say here's Eve. She has a relationship with God. And as they draw closer together, still having God in their life, they're going to get closer together. But if they're not serving God together, there's going to be a gap there. There's going to be problems there. And we need to realize that and understand it, and that's not pleasing to the Lord. But the best way for us to have a blessed marriage is for each one of us to have a relationship with God first, maintain that relationship, and by doing so, we are going to grow closer together. How many of you would like that in your marriage? How many of you want your marriage to stay that way? And if you need help in your marriage, I know someone that can help it. And it's not me. It's God. God can make all things right.
Amen. Aren't you glad about that? But he shall leave his father and his mother. Now, I have seen, even on the mission field, with missionaries coming to the field, even amongst pastors, that there's that relationship, whether it's the husband or the wife, that won't let mom and dad stay out of their marriage. Hello? That moment you said, I do. That moment you made an agreement and a covenant with God that you were going to marry that person, you became a new family. A new nuclear family, if you will. What is the greatest thing under attack today by Satan? Our families. Would you agree with that? He wants to destroy what marriage is. He wants to destroy what sexes are as far as male and female. He wants to put all this confusion in the way, yet if we will just stay with the Word of God, there's hope, there's safety, there's protection, and we can have what God intends for us to have. And so when we think about that, we need to pray hard. But we've got to do our part to maintain our relationship with God. Which you can't do that if you don't allow God's Word to work in your heart. See, it takes God's Word to help us to maintain that relationship. It takes time of spending time with God, walking with Him in the garden, spiritually, physically, however you want to do it, it needs to be done. Speaking to the Lord, but listening to the Lord. Amen? How many ever heard those people, it's kind of like me up here teaching Sunday school, yes, you're giving a little bit of response, but really I'm controlling the conversation. You know, when we're talking to God, we need to let Him control the conversation. We need to hear His side because His side is the most important side. Now, we can put our cares before Him. We can put our worries before Him and give them to Him, and He loves to hear it. But we need to make sure that we keep Him in His rightful place in our lives. Would you turn with me now, Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Jesus spoke on marriage. Jesus referenced original intent, if you will. Let me know when you get there. Matthew chapter 19, look at verse 3 with me. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Leave and cleave. Let's remember what we read already in Genesis chapter 2. Leave the influence of mom and dad. That doesn't mean you don't seek their counsel, by the way. That just means that your focus now is on your own family with your wife. But here, Moses had given them permission to put away the wife for any cause. This is not God's intent, and we'll get to that. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered. Who answered? And when we're studying the Bible, when we're reading the Bible, it's always important to take into context who is speaking, who is being spoken to. Okay? And so why is that important? Because in the beginning was the Word. Jesus Christ is God. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? That should clear up everything. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Now here we find a quotation that we already read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, of what God expects, that these two are now one. Okay? Keep that in mind if you will. And here he says, the twain shall be one flesh, wherefore they are no more twain. What's another word for twain? Two, but one flesh. Do you see that? What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Man, in general, has not really obeyed this much. Now, I realize some of you have probably been married for several decades, more than our 34, and I applaud you for that. I greatly applaud you for that. You are an example to all of us who have not reached that milestone yet. But how many have thrown in the towel? How many Christians? I don't know what the average is today of divorce amongst Christians, but I know at one time it was 60%. I say amongst Christians, quote-unquote Christians.
That's horrible. Especially for people who say they believe the Word of God. Especially for people who say that they love God. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now listen, if God has brought you together with someone, just as he brought Eve to Adam, let no man put asunder. Don't let any man do away with that. They are now no more two separate entities. But what I see a lot happening is people get married, but she's got her bank account, he's got his bank account. Her car, his car. Now, listen, Patsy and I have two vehicles. She calls the truck mine. Okay, thank God. But seriously, it's both of our vehicles. And while we have several bank accounts, we're both on those bank accounts. Because it's not my money and her money. It's our money. Now, when the kids are behaving, they're her kids, right? But no, seriously. It's no longer, well, this is mine and that's yours. Or as you've heard the joke many times, you know, the woman says, well, what's mine is mine and what yours is mine. No, it's not that way at all. We become one flesh. It's ours. The marriage is ours. The relationship is ours. And we are no longer to be selfish, worried about, well, what's in this for me? I shouldn't be that way. Or what's in it for her thinking that way. We should be seeking, God, what do you want? God, what would you have me to do? And so please keep these things in mind as we continue to ponder about the Word of God and what God would have us to do. We are no longer to, now this is not popular, but I know a lot of marriages, especially young people today, that the wife will still go out with her buddies to bars. Now, if you're a Christian, I shouldn't have to say anything, but that's no place for you. Yeah. Or the guy goes out with the guys. Hello? Listen, when you got married, that should have become your best friend. I can say unashamedly, I can say without lying, I can say without any deception whatsoever, Patsy is my very best friend outside of Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? It wasn't always that way. When we got married, I said I loved her. I didn't know what love meant. How many of you can relate to me? We were both in better shape when we got married. Now we're both in shapes, okay? We both lost the original color of our hair for the most part, okay? There's some extra wrinkles. There's some, well, muffin tops here and, you know. But if you've noticed, those of you who've been married for a while, you notice things change. We were in better health when we first got married. But that health degrades over time, doesn't it? And if we're living like the world, we say, well, I'm no longer interested and I don't love that person anymore. Who's really saying that? That's Satan. That's your flesh. You know, when we get married, it ought to be until death do we part. That's God's original intent. But today, when they start getting sick, when they can no longer do the things that we expect them to do, then a lot of people want to cut and run. They want to give a bill of divorcement for any cause. But that's not what God intends. I would encourage the young people, if they're thinking about getting married, you talk to the older, and I do mean older couples in the church, especially those who have been married for decades on end. You talk to them. Get wisdom from them. Don't think that you've got it made and that you understand everything because you don't. See, true love is commitment. I think of Christ on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well, how did he give his only begotten son? He allowed him to take our place on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ was committed, nailed to the cross. Even though he had opportunity to come down, he refused to come down because he wanted us to be saved, because he loved us so much. That is what we ought to be having, the same kind of love, an agape love towards our spouse. Not a phileo love, but an agape love. And so keep that in mind, if you will.
But God says, don't let them put it asunder. Then if you go to Ephesians chapter 5, Now, most men that I have experienced throughout my youth as a preacher and as a young person myself, most men love verse 22. Hello? Come on, guys. We love verse 22. Some men use this to control their wives, but yet they seem to forget verse 21. Can we look at verse 21? Are we okay this morning? Yeah. Amen. Thank you, lady. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. See, men, it's not all about the woman submitting to us, but we like verse 22. But before verse 22, if I'm counting right, there's verse 21. And before God tells the wives to submit themselves to their own husbands, not to everybody else's husband, but their own husbands, God says for the husband and wife to submit themselves one to another. It's not my way or the highway, men. Now, it ought to be God's way or the highway. But what we need to understand is that helpmeet that God created for us, she has a say because it affects her. Are we listening this morning? Our decisions affect her, gentlemen. And we need to understand that. When God called me to go to Spain, I had an obedient wife that went with me. Hello? Left her home here. Went over to a foreign country that she didn't speak the language. In our first year, we had the surprise of Daniel. Most of you have met Daniel, at least when we were members here before. He stopped in Wyoming. Please pray for him. But, you know, We thought we were done with three children, but the Lord surprised us in Spain and gave us a fourth child who was born there. My wife went to give delivery in a hospital where they don't speak English and she didn't speak Spanish. You talk about stressful. She ran into complications. They had to do a cesarean. Now, they won't let the men back there, and I understand their reasonings for whatever they want to say. And so I'm sitting like, what in the world's going on? Why is this taking so long? Next thing I know, they bring in my son. Well, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord, I got a son. Where's my wife? Why? Because I loved her. Why? Because she followed me to Spain. Now, I'm having to leave her in the care of people that don't speak her language, and she doesn't speak their language, and Spanish hospitals are not the best in the world. I'll just be honest with you. So, a little bit later on, I find out my wife, who wore her beautiful gown to, you know, birth her child in, the gown is no longer because it was bloodstained. They had to cut it off, and they had to give her two transfusions because she needed, nobody asked me, nobody consulted me, and yet after that, she still followed me. She still followed me, and she served with me there for 14 years. 14 years. But you know what? God blessed our marriage. God blessed our marriage. Then I became Southwest director of the United States, and she went with me on the trip that she could go with me, and then we moved to Wyoming. Y'all know about that? Well, the problem is we had grandchildren at that time. Now, grandmas don't really like getting away from grandbabies. Hello? But you know what she said? If that's what God's calling you to do, I'll go with you. Hallelujah. Because you know how horrible the ministry would have been had she'd been gone kicking and screaming? Now, I told you earlier, I know of other missionaries or other pastors. Listen, their wives were not going to leave home. Their wives were not going to leave mama behind. And it destroyed their ministry. Now, God has rules. God has things that he expects us to do, and we need to understand that. So keep that in mind. It is important that we submit one to another. And then it says in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto who? As unto the Lord. There's a lot of things we can get into here, but we're going to go quickly. For the husband is the head of the wife. Now we're establishing the ranking system in the family, right? Right? Hello? We're reading the same Bible, right? Amen. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. For he is the Savior of the body. Now, the relationship between man and woman in the marriage is the same as the relationship, in fact, it's likened unto Christ and the church, the body of believers. How many of you think that Christ is an abusive husband? Has Christ ever hauled off and hit his bride? Has Christ just sat around and ridiculed his bride? I know I might be getting personal. I don't know. I hope not. But it doesn't change what God says. Now, she says, submit to you, but are you worthy of being submitted to? And I'll say, I'm not worthy of being submitted to, but because my wife loves the Lord, she submits. Amen? Does she always agree? Nope. You mean your wife doesn't agree with you 100% of the time? Nope. And she shouldn't 100% of the time. Because sometimes, I hate to say it, I'm wrong. Hello? Do you know the wife is a type of the Holy Spirit? And God gives her special knowledge that we men can't see sometimes, especially when it comes to the opposite sex. Hello? Your wife can pick up on danger that you can't pick up on. Whether we're willingly ignorant or just blinded. But I'm glad that God gives us a help meet, one who is suitable to help us. And she is to submit herself to you, husband, not to other husbands or other men, but to you, husband, your own husband, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And men will run with verse 22. Men will run with verse 24. But what about verse 25? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you love your wife the way that Christ loves the church, gentlemen? Now remember, I don't know how much time, I know I've got a few minutes left, but in the beginning, God created innocent Adam and Eve. He gave them opportunities. He didn't create robots, right? They were married by God. They were put into the Garden of Eden, correct? Temptation comes. By who? Satan. He's always looking for opportunity to destroy marriages. Hello? He hasn't changed. He's still out and about to do this. And sadly, too often, the husband or the wife or both help him to destroy the marriage. But not if we're having the right relationship with God the way we should. And so as we look at this, Satan comes to Eve in the garden in chapter 3 of Genesis and starts to make her question what God said. Now, please understand that God told Adam specifically about the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's no recording that he told Eve about that, but Adam should have told Eve about that. Now, she obviously had knowledge about it, but not clear knowledge, or at least her actions didn't show that she had clear knowledge about it. So Satan causes her to question the word of God. Then she ends up adding to the word of God. Now, it's just getting bad, isn't it? Now, the thing is, God brought Eve to who? But here's Satan tempting Eve, trying to deceive her, trying to destroy her. Where's Adam? Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, so I can't say where he was, but I know where it appears that he wasn't. He wasn't there protecting his wife. Now, men, we're supposed to be the spiritual leaders of our home. Hello? If you're not, you need to ask God to forgive you and work on it. Now, you're not going to take it by force. You need to earn that respect, but you need to do your part to be the spiritual leader. And so keep that in mind. But anyways, when she finally partook of that fruit, her eyes were open, right? She took the fruit to Adam. Did Adam know what that fruit was? Do you think Adam had a mental picture in his mind or knew exactly what fruit was coming to him as she was bringing it? He knew exactly which fruit that was. He could have said, nope. He didn't. Now, I don't know the intent of his heart. Please understand this. I just know the results of his action. I'm not judging his intentions, but this was the wife that God brought to him. This is the wife that he loved. She has now fallen into sin. She is spiritually dead. She brings it to him, tells him to eat. What does he do? I can't remember if she told him to eat, but she said, here's the fruit. He ate it. He allowed himself to be cast into sin. Now listen, we got to be the spiritual leader. We should not cast ourselves into sin for the love of our spouse. We need to maintain the love of God that will help us to love our spouse the way we're supposed to. Easy for me to say, I wasn't in the garden. Hello? Please understand that. But the man is the head of the home. This is what God established. However, Christ is the head of the man. And what is the problem today is in marriages, most times that's upside down. When we first got married, I had no spirituality about me. I had just been saved. And she knew more of the Bible than I did ever at that time. But that bothered me. Not in a bad way where I wanted to keep her from reading her Bible. It got me provoked to read more of the Bible. And that's a good thing. Would you agree? Because I didn't want to be an ignorant dummy when it came to the Word of God. And I didn't know much about being the spiritual leader at the time. But something inside of me is like, you need to study the Word. And I know it was God. And I'm glad he did. And even though we've had problems in our marriage, how many of you realize there's no perfect churches? There's no perfect marriages. Hello? You're going to have arguments. You're going to have disagreements. You're going to get mad at each other. Now, I know it's impossible for y'all to believe that my wife gets mad at me. I understand that. But no, I give her plenty to be mad at. But the thing is, in a marriage that is pleasing to God, you've got to work through those things. You've got to love each other enough to listen to one another. To not say, well, that's it, I'm done. They are cleaved together. They are stuck together. They are now one. And this is what we need in our lives. Now, would you say that their lives are in turmoil? Their lives were in turmoil? Absolutely, but who came about to fix it? God did. Who did God call on the carpet? Adam. Right? Did he call out Eve even though she was the one that sinned first? No, because Adam was the head. He's the leader. God held him more accountable. And if you've ever been in a position of authority, in a position of leadership, those under you, you were there to protect. You were there to help. To take care of, especially in the military. Okay? But that's the whole thing. And Adam was placed as the head of his house, his home. And his wife was attacked by Satan. His wife gave in to the temptations of Satan, brought it to him, and he willingly sinned against God. She was deceived, but he knew perfectly what all was going on. God called him out, and Adam did this. You know what, God? I'm guilty. No, God, Adam didn't do this. He said, the woman thou gavest me. Who's he blaming? He's blaming God originally, but it also looked like he was blaming his wife, did it not? And so we need to think about this as we continue on. Whatever God put together, talking about marriage, let no man put asunder. Marriage is work, but it takes two people, well actually three people, including God. It takes three to make it work and to have success. Amen? And so I appreciate the opportunity to be able to teach that with you this morning. And you pray for one another, pray for us, pray for our marriage. Again, 34 years coming up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But it's going to take work. It's going to take work. And I'm praying for you. I'm praying for all of you that are married. And those of you, listen, I understand things may have occurred. Aren't you glad God is full of forgiveness? And God is able to make everything right if we'll humble ourselves and allow him to do so. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time in your word. I just pray now that you would help your words not to go astray, to go to the wayside, but Father, you would help us truly ponder upon what we heard this morning. Father, we pray that you be with our pastor as he preaches this morning. We pray that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit or whoever's preaching. And Lord, that you would just give us exactly what we need to hear. Lord, I pray for our young people in this church that you would put a hedge of protection around them. Father, help them to seek you, to know you. Lord, to follow you all the days of their lives. and that you would put the right person in their lives. We know you want to help them to obey you, to allow you to do so. We ask these things in Christ's name, for his honor and glory. Amen.